Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Well, he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So far from our text. In Christ Jesus, who is our strength and present help in time of trouble, dear fellow redeemed. Ever have one of those stirring moments, awe-filled moments? You know, when your heart is pounding, got a lump in your throat, goosebumps all over your arms. There's lots of things that can cause that kind of reaction. If you're into sports, it could be a walk-off home run or a last-second touchdown pass to win the game. In life, it could be a marriage proposal, the birth of your first child, a graduation. In the world, it could be experiencing a hurricane or seeing a terrible accident or witnessing the most beautiful sunset or rainbow. Well, our disciples, the Lord's disciples, experienced one of those awe-filled, stirring moments. We heard about it last Sunday in our sermon text. It was the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That means it could be up to 10,000 to 12,000 people full to satisfaction with such little food. And when he gathered the leftovers, there was 12 baskets full. Far more than they began. What an awesome time. What a stirring moment. But only stirred the hearts of the disciples, we're told in the Gospel of John, it stirred the hearts of the people so that they wanted to take Jesus by force and make him their king. Their answer to poverty, their answer to hunger, was standing there right in front of them. Jesus could feed them with very little food. Could meet all their needs. But Jesus had not come into the world to be that kind of a king, nor had he come into the world to receive that kind of honor. So Jesus sent his disciples back into the boat to cross the other side of the Sea of Galilee to Bethsaida, and he sent his crowds away, and he went up into the mountains to be alone with his Father in prayer. We mentioned this before. The Sea of Galilee is kind of a unique sea with mountain ranges around on 3 sides of it. Very quickly, the wind that can be blowing down one of the ridges could turn into a whirlpool effect. Before you know it, a storm would arise in the Sea of Galilee. Well, one such storm rose that night, and the disciples were in the midst of it. We're told in one of the other gospel accounts that they rode almost all night long and gotten only 2/3 of a mile. They were struggling, rowing, and getting nowhere. It's the fourth hour of the night, between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. That's okay. These are strong, sturdy, experienced fishermen. They were not about to give up. In Mark's account, we're told that Jesus looked out on the sea and he saw his disciples. No doubt his heart went out to them as they struggled and rowed and not only fought against the wind, but tried to keep their boat from being capsized and swamped. But it's interesting to note that in none of the gospel accounts of this event are we ever told the disciples cried out for help to the Lord. Earlier, they had a similar account take place on the Sea of Galilee. When they were in the boat, and Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat, and a furious storm arose, they fought, and the boat began to be swamped, and they woke Jesus up and said, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." But now, none of them think about calling upon Jesus, because he's not there. He's not in the boat with them. But this storm arose for a reason. And they struggled and fought that wind all night long for a purpose. And that was for them to learn a lesson. The lesson? Look to Jesus. In all of their storms in life, they needed to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus left his mountaintop seclusion, walked down the mountain to the shore, and then just proceeded to walk on the water. He walked on the water and began to pass the boat. When the disciples saw this person walking by them, they freaked out. Imagine if you were in the boat there. It's nighttime, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Been rowing all night. You've probably got a little lantern hanging in the top of the boat. And so the lantern's blowing back and forth, and the light rays are kind of whishing back and forth. And all of a sudden you see in the light rays some vision of a person. Wind's blowing his hair and his cloak, his robe, and he's walking on the water. They were sure they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus calms their fears and he says to them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid." Didn't just say, "It is me, Jesus." They heard his voice, they recognized his voice. And Peter, that impetuous disciple of Jesus, was quick to respond, and he said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you out on the water." Peter's desire was not improper. He wanted to be at his Savior's side. And he knew that if his Savior called him to go out there, his Savior would give him the ability to be able to walk on the water. Jesus responded simply by saying, "Come." And amazingly, remarkably, Peter did. The boat's rocking back and forth, wind blowing, waves washing over, and he gets up, steps over the side, begins to walk in the water. He actually walked on water. Trusting in the Lord's words, his command, heart filled with faith, Peter walked towards his Lord. And then suddenly, his attention was distracted. He must have looked and saw he's in the middle of the lake. He took his eyes off of his Savior, saw the waves lapping at his feet, felt the wind blowing in his face, and his heart sank, and so did his body. Quickly, as he was sinking into the water, Peter cries out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand, grabs hold of Peter, the two of them walk to the boat, step in the boat, and immediately the storm stopped. Just like earlier, when they woke Jesus up and Jesus said, "Peace, be still," and the storm ceased. Another awe-filled, stirring moment, far more exciting than feeding the 5,000. I'm sure Peter's heart was pounding, lump in his throat, goosebumps all over his body, not only his, but probably the bodies of the disciples as they were watching all of this taking place. But unfortunately, the disciples hadn't learned from the past awe-filled, stirring moments. The first calming of the sea, the feeding of the 5,000. They needed to learn that even if they did not see Jesus with their eyes, even if he was not physically present with them, he is still near them, still close to them, still ever ready to help and defend them. And that's the lesson that our sermon text this morning teaches every single one of us. Look to Jesus. In all the storms of your life, in all the storms of my life, we need to look to Jesus and walk by faith, not by sight. We don't see Jesus with our eyes either, do we? And yet we know that he's with us. With this, with his word. You know, it was not so much the calming of the sea that invigorated the disciples' faith. It was Jesus' words. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. 8 times in the Bible, that phrase, be of good cheer, is used. 7 times by Jesus. Literally in the Greek, it says, be of good confidence. Be of happy courage. When Jesus speaks that word has the ability and the power to work in the heart of the individual who hears that word. To have that happy courage, that joyful confidence to trust in Jesus. When we face the many trials and troubles and tumults of a life, when we're sad and grieving, when we have problems that like our waves washing over us, ready to drown us and sink us in, we need to look to Jesus and time and time and time again hear his promises to us that we need to be of good cheer, courageously confident, because it is he who is with us. We need never be afraid. You know, if a really, truly honest with ourselves, we not only have to admit that we are not only just weak human beings, but if we evaluate ourselves with the Bible, God's Word, we need to admit that by nature we are spiritually lost and condemned sinners. Every day we sin in thought, in word, in our actions. We are more selfish and self-centered than we ever want to admit. We cannot and have not kept God's commandments the way he demands them to be kept, loving him perfectly above all things and loving our neighbor as ourselves. How then can we expect to get ourselves through the trials and troubles and temptations of life? How can we weak, simple human beings expect to be able to walk through temptations, walk through troubles, and not fail, and not fall? But when we look at Jesus, turn to his word, hearing his word give us the courage and the happy confidence, the power to say no to sin, to live for Jesus, and to see us through all the obstacles, the anxieties, the worries, the troubles of life, then we know they're more than conquerors. Our Lord says to us in Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble. Then he promises, and I will deliver you. Then he says, and you'll glorify me. In Psalm 121, the psalmist writes, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence or where comes my help? And he tells us, my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But there's a second lesson we need to learn from this morning's Bible text. Yes, walk by faith. But don't put your faith in your faith. Walking by faith means that you put your faith, your trust, your confidence in Jesus alone and His Word. Peter no doubt thought, I'm full of faith. Jesus has come. I'm ready to go. And he began to walk. And then he lost sight of his Savior and he began to sink. He was filled with doubt. His faith was weak. And Jesus didn't rebuke Peter for his attempt. He rebuked him for his failure. He said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter was not blamed for getting out of the boat, but for not remaining in the ship, the boat of faith. His fault lay not in undertaking too much for the Lord, but in trusting too little upon the Lord's strength, upon His Word. Jesus says to you and me, if we had faith the size of a tiny grain of mustard seed, we could move mountains. How many mountains have you moved in your life? I haven't even moved one. That's how weak and frail we are. But Jesus is strong. Jesus is almighty. His Word is all powerful. Notice it was Jesus who grabbed Peter's arm and pulled him up and saved him. His holding on to our hands is what saves us, not ours to His. That's faith. Trusting that Jesus will never let us go. Jesus is the one who came to live that perfect life. He's the one who suffered and died, paid for the guilt and the punishment of all of your and my sins. He's the one who rose from the dead, assuring us of a resurrection to everlasting life and ascended to heaven. He's the one who sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts to create faith and to call us brothers and sisters, children of our Heavenly Father. And knowing all of this, seeing all that He's done for us in our life, hearing His Word, many of us from little on, we too can say with the disciples, at the end of this fantastic, awe-filled, stirring moment, truly, Jesus, You are the Son of God. And it all leads back to hearing and reading and studying that Word of God. The disciples were not afraid when they heard Jesus' voice. Peter was confident when he heard Jesus speak to him. We also have the same confidence, the same courage for the unknown, fearful future, for all the enemies that are against us. We hear Jesus speak to us in His Word. Jesus has done the impossible. He saved you and me and every single person ever conceived in the history of this world. And every day Jesus does the impossible, working through you, walking by faith in Him and His Word. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.